You're listening to Kat Feeney on ABC Radio, Brisbane and Queensland.
Did you have help buying your first house? Do you even have a house that you call your own? As you know, home ownership is a big deal, and there are no shortage of stories about how hard it is to break into the market. Governments over the years at all levels have introduced schemes, various kinds of schemes that promise to improve your chances of buying a place to live. But do they work? Nicola McDougall is the director of Bricks and Mortar Media. And Nicola, the federal government went to the election last year promising to make it easier for first home buyers. So are they?
Well, I think the federal government's first home loan deposit scheme, which kicked off on the 1st of January, but rightly so, Kat, was announced during the federal election campaign. Look, I think a lot of things, first home buyers were stuck on the sidelines for many, many years, reached critical lows pretty much in every, maybe not in regional areas, but in every capital city for a number of years, pretty much the whole of 2010, really, up to recent, probably last year. High property prices was the main problem, clearly restrictive lending. But the main problem, and as those of us who've bought our first house at some point in history know, the hardest part's always getting together the deposit, right? And especially if property prices are growing, even at a moderate rate, your savings can never actually keep up with the amount, so you might have to say, oh, I need to borrow $70,000, and then by the time you reach the 70, it's become 90. And I mean, who can save $90,000, let's be honest. So with this scheme, I kind of like it because it actually allows first home buyers help with their deposit, because at the moment, interest rates are historically low, so the actual serviceability of the mortgage, and here in Queensland property prices are quite reasonable compared to Victoria and New South Wales, so the serviceability of the mortgage for most first-home buyers is there. It was always the difficulty getting the deposit together. So the way the scheme works, and it launched on the 1st, there are some limitations though, a really big one. On the 1st of January, the government provided 10,000 allocations for first-home buyers around the country, which allowed them to purchase a property with as little as a 5% deposit. Now, you could always, you actually can buy a property with a 5% deposit, but anything above below 20%, you actually have to pay something called lender's mortgage insurance, or LMI as we call it in the industry, which is sometimes tens of thousands of dollars, which is an insurance policy which covers the lender. So if you're only coming up with a 5% deposit, they calculate, there's this big calculation there about how much extra you have to pay in LMI. So with this one, what it does is the government is paying that LMI on behalf of first-time buyers. So if you have got 5% deposit, you can actually, get into the market and not have to worry about coming up with an extra 10, 15, 20 grand. And also what used to happen, and I've paid LMI a couple of times, you usually get it capitalised on your loan, which means, say, if you borrow 300, they'll pop on the 320, which you go, oh, that's great. But then over the life of the loan, it's probably costing you a heck of a lot more than that. So that's how the system works. There are price caps around the country, depending on where you live. Maximum property prices here in Queensland, $475 in Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, $400 in regional areas. Sydney at $700,000, which seems like a lot, but try as a first-time buyer to buy anything for $700,000 in Sydney. You're pretty much a unit in Parramatta, maybe. I think Melbourne's about $600,000. There's income thresholds as well. For a single, around about $125,000. A couple, around about $180,000. The whole concept is to help first-time buyers who would otherwise struggle to get into the market. So that's why those price caps are there. That's why those income thresholds are there. So it is actually helping those people that otherwise might not be able to make it. As I said, limited to 10,000 allocations. I was just reading before I got here, Kat, 6,500 already gone.
Oh, right.
Okay. This was always a limitation. And so that when they announced it, everyone was kind of like, oh, well, at least they're doing something, right? But everyone, there is generally, on an average month, 10,000 first home buyers active in Australia every month. So actually most of us in the industry thought it would have been gone already by now. It'd probably be gone in a couple of weeks. However, they have announced that they are going to put out another 10,000 come the 1st of July. What's interesting with the report out today, majority of applicants so far singles. Okay. Which is great, with an average income of $65,000.
Oh.
So it really is helping people that, you know, that would struggle. And a lot of people are also investing in regional locations. So I don't know whether that means they're living regional or whether they actually are becoming a rent investor and perhaps, you know, living in Sydney but investing in Geelong.
So you can use it to buy an investment property?
No, you can't. So no, they must be in a regional area.
They must be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there are other restrictions too, Nicola, about what kind of home or house that you're buying. I believe it's got to be freestanding. I mean, can you use it for units?
Yeah, you can buy any type of dwelling.
Oh, right.
Yeah, any residential dwelling to live in.
So yes. It's your primary place of residence.
Your PPOR, your primary place of residence, you can buy anything, but it has to be within those thresholds.
Okay.
So here in Brisbane, 475. You know, the good thing about Brisbane, right, or Southeast Queensland, you can actually still buy a house for that price. Yeah, okay, you're not going to be 5K from the city, but you might be 15. Mm-hmm. And then Sydney, clearly those options aren't even there. You can't even buy a unit for that price. So we are seeing a lot of activity. But what's interesting is that first-time buyers actually across the country and in Brisbane and Queensland too started becoming much more active from the start of last year. So they were at historic lows, and they have actually been trending up all of last year.
And do you put that down to
rate cuts, but also the relaxation of lending, because when the APRA restrictions came in a few years ago, it locked the majority of people out of the market, myself included, and certainly first home buyers. So that kind of, and no wonder prices started to fall everywhere because no one could get any money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, kind of supply and demand sort of thing. So the relaxation of lending and lower property prices, certainly in Sydney and Melbourne, saw and investors actually stopped buying for a while there because they couldn't get finance. And usually investors and first-time buyers compete with each other for the same properties because they're trying to get the most affordable ones.
Nicola McDougall with you, Director of Bricks and Mortar Media. We're looking at the federal government's scheme concerning first-home buyers to cover off some of the lender's mortgage insurance costs associated with buying your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Enabling you to buy a home with a 5% deposit.
Yes.
I mean, what happens if you take a mortgage out with someone and you're taking advantage of this and then your circumstances change? I mean, to what extent do you still get to benefit from that? If you split up maybe, can you go at it again?
Or it's a one-time only deal, and you can also you have to actually apply for a slot, as you were, in one of these allocations. So my understanding is you apply for the slot and you obviously get approved because you've got the right income levels, blah, 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 blah. And then when you actually purchase the house, say you buy a unit in Windsor for $400,000, that's below the threshold, you've met the income level threshold, a bit like the first home owner's grant happened, right? Mm-hmm. So you didn't actually get that till the transaction.
Sure.
So that's how it happens. So once it's happened, it's happened.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So
yep.
That's, and I think the thing is with this, you know, and it's been a bugbear of mine for years, is, you know, like you said at the outset, Kat, first home owner's grants have been around for 20 years, actually, literally. And they originally were $7,000. They were stayed $7,000, but $7,000 20 years ago was worth a hell of a lot more than it is today. But then what happened was, obviously, during the GFC and things like that, and state governments, my personal opinion, wanting to perhaps protect some of the income that was coming in, was they changed the goalposts. And I'm pretty sure it's every state and territory for many years now, you can't even get the first-time owner's grant unless you buy something that's new. And, you know, research shows, I think it's certainly around about, it's a high majority of first-time buyers buy established property. So that's another reason why first-time buyers couldn't get into the market, because that $7,000, even though it's not worth as much as it used to be, right, was still something. Seven grand in anyone's language, especially when you're trying to buy your first property and they've got all the additional costs. But the vast majority of first-time buyers haven't had any access to that for many years, unless they bought new. And I've always thought it was very unfair to restrict that to new. Obviously, it helps underpin the construction sector, but, you know, buying brand new is not necessarily the best thing for you.
And so that's a state grant?
It's a federal grant which is administered by the states.
Okay, so can you get both?
Yes. They're completely separate to each other.
Sure.
Yes, and there's also stamp duty concessions for first-time buyers, which have been around for a very long time. So generally speaking, first-time buyers, if they bought their first home, a principal place of residence, up to, again, a certain threshold, they probably would get a concession for the majority of their stamp duty.
Okay.
If they bought their first property and it's an investment, then that's doesn't count. This they obviously have to pay stamp duty.
So there's lots to consider, isn't there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And what's another interesting thing is, like, a lot of people, well, another limitation to this scheme is that if you are with your partner and they may have bought a property before and you want to buy a property together, you're not allowed to.
Because together as a household, you're not a first home buying household.
No, which is kind of a bit, you know, if you're repartnering or something like that, I think that's a bit on the nose. One thing that there is with the first home buyers and stamp duty, if you bought a house with your partner and they already own property, as a first home buyer, your half of the stamp duty, you would still be eligible to get the concession.
Okay.
Which is something, right?
Which is something.
Yeah.
They giveth and they taketh away.
Well, indeed. But as I say, on the whole, I think it's a great policy, and it's, you know, being taken up by, you know, obviously thousands of people around the country, but we always knew it was going to run out quick,
yeah.
and literally it is.
All right. Nicola McDougall with you, Bricks and Mortar Media. We're talking about the federal government's policy to address problems faced by first home buyers. Nicola, where do you go to find out more if you're a first home buyer or you know someone who is?
Yeah, well, obviously online, the federal government has a lot of information on there. It's very easy to find out and very sort of simple to follow whether you apply and what all the thresholds are and various bits and pieces. But, you know, I think my last piece of advice would be there is another allocation of these grants coming out on the 1st of July. Don't go out. I've heard from a lot of people that there are some first home buyers who are rushing and overpaying for properties because they're so desperate to make the most of this scheme, and that's important that they, you know, that they can have access to it. But it's, you know, it's more important not to overpay for a property in the first place.
Nicola, thank you for your time.
Welcome, Kat.
ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, Nicola McDougall, Director of Bricks and Mortar Media.
Kat Feeney on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.